Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday episode 11. If you've watched any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much. Honestly, any support is so much appreciated. I am honestly loving doing these, so hearing and seeing so many of you guys loving them too honestly makes my heart warm and fills my cup up so much. So I'm so excited for today's episode because I have my sister on the seat with me. So hi, Liz.
Hi, Luce. How are you? Yeah, I'm good.
I know you've watched them, and as you know, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself, put you in the hot spot. So go ahead, introduce.
Oh, hi, everyone. Thank you, Lulu, for having me. I'm Lydia Finnegan / Lydia Rye, now that I'm married. And I am Lucy's funnier, older, wiser, more intelligent, more beautiful, more hysterical sister. I live and work in London. I have worked in London for over a decade, but I also have a blog all about eczema because I have suffered from extreme chronic skin conditions and overcome quite a lot. So I have a blog all about overcoming things that we all go through that people don't feel comfortable talking about. And I feel really proud of that as my little side hobby. And I'm the proud auntie to little baby Ziggy.
Yeah.
Who I woke up at 6 a.m. for this morning to drive to see for a cuddle.
And you are the best auntie ever.
Thank you.
He adores you and you adore him. So yeah, Lydia's like, I have to agree with pretty much everything she just said. Way more intelligent.
I'm just kidding, by the way, about all of that.
No, but you are way more intelligent. Probably, I wouldn't say you're funnier.
No.
I don't know, but definitely more
sometimes
intelligent.
Sometimes I am.
At school, Lydia's one of those people where like, so I really struggled at school. Don't know if I've ever spoke about this, but I'm not academic at all. I really, really struggled. I had to like put so much effort in like just to barely pass. Whereas Lydia could like the night before the exam, like look at the page and get an A star. She's one of them girls.
Yeah, but also the night before the exams, I used to study and Lucy used to like bake cakes. And you wonder why.
You did.
You used to have friends around and bake cakes before your exams. And I used to be like,
when was this, hun?
Your GCSEs.
Well, that can't be true because I actually smashed my GCSEs.
Yeah, you did. It must have been your A-levels.
It must have been my A-levels. Yeah, those weren't for me. No, I remember I used to have to do like flashcards, like stick them on my wardrobe and try so hard to retain the information and just really struggled with it. And Lydia's just naturally like gifted in that sense.
You did great.
So yeah, you're a corporate gal.
I'm a corporate girly, which is all the rage on TikTok now.
What do you mean?
Oh, corporate girly. It must be the algorithm.
Oh, it's like a thing.
Yeah, it goes on about a day in the life.
Oh, you should start doing that.
Haven't got time.
Yeah, I literally wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Lydia at work. She gives me like scary vibes.
Hey, I'm nice.
No, you are, but you also, I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of you. Super proud of you for all you've achieved though. When I visit Lydia at work, I get why so many people love it there. The office is like 5-star hotel, 6-star hotel. The gym is the nicest gym I've ever seen in my life. The amenities, you get a full gym kit, socks, shorts, top. You don't even have to take a gym kit in with you. They provide it for you even. I mean, it's stunning. It is stunning. I would like to work there just to merely get those services. It's lovely. The food court is lovely. The coffee. Yeah. It's gorge.
Yeah.
So yeah, me and Lydia are polar opposites. If you follow us on Instagram, then you probably already know that. But also like so similar in so many other ways. And she honestly is my best friend in the whole world. And I don't know what I would do without her. So Lydia's Topic Tuesday, and I'm so excited for this one. We're going to talk all about kind of like weddings, because Lydia just alluded to two surnames, so Finnegan and Rye, because recently this summer Lydia got married.
Yeah.
So she had two weddings, guys. It was over the top in my opinion.
I really recommend two weddings and two honeymoons.
Yeah, I think
why not?
And it's, I mean,
go for it.
Right. First of all, the London wedding, because you had the, you explain it.
I had a civil wedding, which is like the legal one, and then a fun 3-day Italy wedding, which is just a big party for friends, basically.
But you know what's really funny? I loved the registry, the London one.
I know.
It was really intimate. There was literally like a handful of, maybe like 10 people.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought, I so get why people do that.
I know.
Like, it was such a good experience. And you looked incredible.
Thank you.
The outfit, everything. And then Italy, when we did Italy, it was just like, it literally is just a big party, isn't
it? Yeah.
Basically big up. Everyone was just drunk. Yeah. Apart from me. Mom.
Yeah. That's the goal of a wedding, isn't it? That everyone just like parties, has a great time. But the Italy one, is, or the summer wedding that people work up to and put a lot of effort in. As you say, the London one, which was literally just the legal bit where you sign your life away, was just the best day ever. And I have a really good friend who is Nigerian, and so she had like a amazing Nigerian wedding.
Did you go?
No, I wish.
Why?
Big party.
Why didn't you go?
Well, I didn't get the invite, huh?
Oh, sorry. When you said friend, I thought like...
She's a great friend, but we've grown more close more recently. And she had just like an amazing wedding. And on the morning of my legal wedding, which was literally, as you say, just registry office, close family, she sent me a text and she said, I just want to let you know that my legal ceremony was the best day of my life. Just that was all she said.
I got goosey.
And I remember thinking, because I woke up, I was by myself, and I remember just thinking... Oh my God. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to have what I do think was probably the best day of my life.
Did you prefer the London one?
I think in terms of like intimacy and special regarding like marrying Jace,
it was
that day was truly just the best day.
It was so special.
We almost nearly didn't get married because you have to have an interview before you get married. Like it's a legal interview where the registrar sits you down and basically checks that you're not being coerced into marriage, you're not doing it for the wrong reason, because obviously a lot of people that go to a registry office are trying to, you know, whether it's to bring someone in the country or otherwise, like that's very common. So they have to interview and ask you questions. And Jace went to the pub before with my dad, because my dad was like, all I want to do is take Jace to the pub. And I'm like, fine. So we got ready, we went together, and we come into the interview room together, and I haven't seen him yet. And I was like, so how many pints have you had? Are you drunk? And the registrar was like, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that, because obviously you can't be under the influence of alcohol to get married because it's illegal. And so immediately I'm like, oh God, oh God. And so we're both looking at one another like, oh shit.
Oh,
and I said to her, I said, have you had people who you've interviewed who are drunk? And she said, yeah, you'd be surprised how many people we have to turn away because they've turned up to the pub.
Wow,
and then, transpires that they did have too many beers because I put them in charge of the confetti. Bring the confetti with you guys. I hand poured the confetti one by one. What did they turn up to the wedding without?
The confetti.
The confetti. They left it in the pub. So then it's like an in and out at the registry office.
Yeah, it is like...
It's like every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So once you're in, you can't leave because then there's another family coming in and then they're leaving for photos. So my dad's like, I've got to go back and get the confetti. And I'm like fuming at them.
I remember what he did. My dad called the pub and was like, I would... Because my dad is like, I don't know how to explain my dad, the most selfless, would never ask anything of anyone. And he called the bride and he was like, I would never do this. My daughter's getting married in probably 5 minutes. Can you please ask one of your colleagues to run the confetti? I forgot it in the pub. And she did. The lady from the pub ran over.
But he had to leave to go and meet the lady. So then he's like, I was in the back of another family's wedding photos to meet her. And then when he was coming back in, he had to come with another family in. And so I'm like to Jace, is everything okay? And Lucy's like, we're just going to delay by 5 minutes. And I'm there thinking, what have they done? Literally, I gave them one job.
They did have one job.
So nearly wasn't allowed to get married because we'd had too many beers at the pub. Nearly forgot the confetti. But it was the most emotional, intimate moment ever. I felt amazing. Everybody looked amazing.
You looked incredible.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And I really recommend
although you said like it is very transact, it is very one in, one out,
yeah, it
but
is.
It doesn't feel like that.
No.
It still feels very kind of like precious and special for each individual family. And I loved it. This is going to you off because I know you spent probably loads of money on the Italy wedding, but I prefer the London wedding. I think I just felt it a lot more, so much more intimate. And I really felt like, you feel like you're getting married. It's so like soul warming and amazing. And I loved it. And I so understand why people do just go to the registry office and put a cute little dress on and get married and have fun. And then, So.
And by the way, all that is important about getting married is your family and families coming together and like you looking at your family happy. So actually that's why I think it's special, because you just have that merging of families. And I remember like after the wedding we went to the pub and then we walked back down Marylebone High Street. It was like 8 o'clock, and so obviously all the guys are going out for their Saturday night out, and everyone walking past us was like shaking Jason's hand, saying congratulations. All the cars were like beeping their horns, and we just walked back to the hotel,
amazing.
Ordered a Wagamama, Love Wagamama. Had a bottle of champagne and we sat on our balcony and I just remember thinking, Shayon, my friend, was right. That was the best day ever. And I'm so glad she said it to me because it just, I don't know, like flicked a switch. It was amazing.
So let's talk about highs and lows. So the Topic Tuesdays guys written in were so good and we're going to touch on them because sometimes I feel like when I do these podcasts, I run away with the guests and then I forget about the entries, and the entries actually are the most important part because we wouldn't have Topic Tuesday without you guys. But we're going to talk about Peak and Pit.
Okay.
Is that the right saying? Peak and Pit? Peak and Pit.
Yeah.
Why are you both looking at me funny?
Don't know. What? I've never heard like that saying either. Highs and lows.
No, it's Peak and Pit, guys. Get to know. So let's disregard.
You can use a simpler word, babes. Use it. Highs and lows.
Let's disregard the London. We'll pretend we just had the one Italy wedding.
Yes.
Because actually, there was no pit, really, of the London wedding. It's just one day.
Well, apart from the fact that...
The confetti,
you
yes.
You forgot all the confetti.
So,
otherwise, it was great.
Italy, Pete.
Oh, and I forgot one thing. The bus broke down.
Yeah.
So we paid £600 for a massive London bus because Jace's nan, who didn't come to Italy and came to the London one, and I said to her, we're going to get in a car to go round. She's 92.
She's amazing.
We're going to get in a car to go to the pub. And I said, we could get any car. We could get a Rolls Royce. What do you think? And she's like, I've already been in a Rolls Royce. I don't want that. What about a big London bus? So I'm like, right. So I order a London bus where it has your name on it. So we come out of the... everything went wrong. We come out of the ceremony and like the bus, it was a heat wave. It was like 30 degrees. Is pouring brown water out the front.
Like flooding the
flooding
road.
Flooding the road.
Flooding the road.
And by the way, it's parked on the actual like high street. And then the sign that says Lydia and Jason is like wonky, halfway fallen down. And the bus driver's like... it's overheating and it's pouring with brown water, so I'm not sure. So we all get on the bus. It's like, it sounds like it's going to blow up.
Sweltering.
And in my head, I'm thinking, this is how we're all going to die. We start driving and the guy's like, I can't drive this car. It's not safe. So we've all got this champagne. We're quickly downing the champagne and we all have to get off. So actually, everything that could have gone wrong...
No, that's not
well,
true.
Quite a lot of things did go wrong. And I think that's a tip. If you think nothing's going to go wrong.
But it was still the best day ever.
You're wrong.
Right, Italy, the peak. Rethink about it because it's three-day wedding in Italy.
Yeah.
Okay, give me three peaks.
So the ceremony.
My speech.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. But it was lovely, thank you. The ceremony, the guy was hilarious, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was funny. It was intimate, emotional. The sun was shining.
I cried my eyes out the whole time.
Lucy was crying her eyes out.
Could not keep it together.
A bit dramatic, but quite nice. I'm joking.
No, sorry.
I'm joking.
No, no. Because it probably was. I was walking down the aisle sobbing. Could not hold it together. And I was like,
oh,
what
yeah?
the hell is wrong with me?
And Jason was crying. And Jason, when I get to the end of the walkway or whatever, he's like, why aren't you crying? And I was like, because I've had my makeup done and I'm not going to let it sweat off. And the whole time, like, he can't keep it together. He's literally, like, crying his eyes out.
You kept
so
it together
emotional.
The whole time.
Such a baby. Lucy behind me, I can hear, like, the tears coming down and I'm just there, like,
I could
I'm
tell you're emotional,
cry.
But you, like, you never, like, bite your cheeks.
Yeah,
and you were kept,
I just...
Like...
I was like, I'm not going to cry.
No, I was sobbing.
But the ceremony was super special. There's nothing nicer than just looking out at everybody smiling and thinking of you. And then I would say, obviously, the speeches, right?
At the dinner.
Yeah. Hearing Dad's speech, it's almost like that was the thing I was most looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And it's just the happiest moment where you reminisce about family and friends that aren't there, but mm-hmm. life that you've had. And then the last memory is definitely like just the dance floor, like the music. We had an electric violin, electric sax. Everybody was on the dance floor. That was the one thing I wanted. There's nothing worse than a dead dance floor where, you know, every two songs, everyone leaves. Mm-hmm. That was the number one goal that we didn't want. And I don't think anyone did leave the dance floor. It was just like,
well, actually,
super
the way
fun.
You set it up, if you left the dance floor, you kind of...
There was nowhere to go.
It's not like, you know, sometimes in weddings, the dance floor, but there's still all the tables around and you can just kind of go and sit down. You didn't really have that.
No.
Once you walked from the dinner area to the dance floor, because it's all Tuscan hills, so you have to kind of like walk through.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to sit down.
No.
So you did that quite cleverly.
So I'd just say like that dance moment where like, I've got Dad and Jace and all the people that you love, like just dancing and dancing. And then we all, like, literally at 2 a.m. ran to the swimming pool and jumped in. Like, those, I guess, snapshots were the best memories.
Pit.
Getting ready.
Yeah, that was just
hated every second.
It was a bloody nightmare, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm not really like, you know, some people on their wedding day care all about how they look and the dress and that moment getting ready. I don't give a shit about any of that. And I didn't enjoy any of it. Yeah, everything went wrong.
It was a bit stressful for you though. So it was
stressful.
It down with rain.
Yeah, it was raining.
Just, bearing in mind, the whole time we've been there, it's like beautiful sunshine on the wedding day. It down. Don't worry, the rain stopped when it the rain literally stopped an hour before you were due to walk out. So that was fine, but that really got you down, didn't it? And then there was a lot of palaver with the makeup artist and the hairstylist, who basically a flight was cancelled and they were really delayed. So my best friend who came to the wedding, bless her heart, pregnant, ended up doing all of the bridesmaids, did a beautiful job, didn't she?
They looked saved.
Yeah, Daisy saved the day. And they looked, the bridesmaids, beautiful. They just looked, the makeup's just beautiful. So it was just a bit of a stressful time. And Lydia, I would agree, Lydia, if you guys follow, you'll know that I'm the one that's like really into hair and makeup and like all of that stuff. And Lydia couldn't give a
I don't care about that.
But yeah, it was, and I remember she got everything done and the room, the way it was set up, my room was next to hers, but everyone was in Lydia's room getting ready. And I was with, I think I was with Ziggy in the next room, and Lydia got ready and there was no one about. So like my dad wasn't there. No one could see. Everyone was in the other side of the Tuscan kind of, it's like a village, it's called a Borgo, and it's like a big village. It's a village, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's really big. So no one could see Lydia at this point. She walked into my room, all ready, dress on, hair and makeup done. And she just looked at me. And I was like, you hate it, don't you? And Lydia's not, you're not very confrontational. Like,
no.
And I could just see the look on her. You looked like you wanted to cry. You looked like you wanted to cry. And I was like, and she was due to walk out, because that's the other thing. It's very scheduled, isn't it? Because you have a wedding planner and you have to be on time. And I said, no. I said, we wait 10 minutes because I'm not letting you walk down the aisle if you don't like the way you look. Like, it's your one day of the year.
Yeah.
So like last minute, I was taking all the hair out. I said, you know, we need to pull it back. I was changing her makeup.
Yeah.
It was very stressful.
Yeah. I think it's like you have a trial and you think what you want your hair and makeup to look like. And then when you're there, actually, you just want to be stripped back, kind of more natural. I look like a bit pageanty.
But that's beautiful for some brides. It's
stunning.
It's just not your look.
It just wasn't,
So I was like, no, we need to go more natural. Yeah.
And when you're already running late and everything's gone wrong and like people haven't, you know, you pay for a service and people haven't shown up and you've got to get a plan B and you don't even like doing any of that anyway, it's a bit frustrating. But it meant that like I haven't got a single photo with you, no bridesmaids, not my mum, not my dad, no photos. You know all the photos that like... Nothing, no, none of that. But to be honest, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
You did look like ethereal.
Thank you.
You looked beautiful. And when you walked down the aisle, it was just like incredible. So although it was a bit of a show, I won't lie, it was a bit of a show on the day. By the end of it, it was amazing, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah. So that was your pit.
Mm.
Mm. I hear you. Should we get into some of the topic Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Okay. And Lydia will kind of like relate to her wedding as well, because I'll be honest, Lydia, at times you were giving bridezilla.
Oh, stop.
Especially at the beginning when in like the planning phase. And I think like...
I'm listening.
Dad had to like humble you really quick when it came to like costs and stuff. And he was like... And I remember, you're gonna kill me for saying this, but where were we? We were in some like village visiting and we sat down and Lydia was kind of like talking about her plans and like costing an absolute arm and a leg, absolute fortune. And Dad was just sat there like biting his lip as if to say, this ain't happening. And you got so moody and I was like, you are giving absolute bridezilla. I said no. And I had to check you, didn't I?
Yeah, but the problem with Dad, God love him, is that he still lives in the 1980s. So his understanding of what things cost, literally are like from 40 years ago. So I'm like, Dad, with what you thought the budget would be, and he doesn't like spending any money, he's the most
dad's
frugal man of all time. So like his idea of the budget, he's like, yeah, we can have all of this for just this amount. I'm going, Dad, honey, that would have worked in Birmingham City Centre 40 years ago when you got married, which is where he got married. Not
Someone asked on Topic Tuesdays, would Lydia share how much she spent? Would you, or do you feel like that's private?
I'm not going to share how much I spent, but a lot of money. It's expensive.
And that is like...
It is expensive.
And that's just like... Because another difference between me and Lydia is, Lydia, you've always like dreamed of weddings and you've always wanted to be married in that sense.
Do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Oh. Yeah, 100%. Whereas me, like, I just don't know when it comes to wedding. I'm like, you spend so much money. And sometimes I would say, Lids, like, honestly, on the wedding day, I would say you were quite stressed. And I'm like, I remember saying to you, I was like, you've not done all this planning because you put so much effort in and you put so much thought in and you really gave it your all. You threw yourself into wedding planning wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't do all of this to be stressed. Yeah. And I was just thinking to myself, I don't know why people do it. Yeah. Anyways, that's different.
But do you know why I was stressed and f***ed off? It's because other people, like, do things to kind of either let you down or slightly frustrate you, and I think that's the bit that pisses you off. It's almost like, you're right, you do so much where it is selfless in the end because you're doing it for your guests. Like, the legal wedding is for you, but a party is for everyone else. And I think that was why it was frustrating, because it's like, for one day, I'm a pretty selfless person. One day, can we make it less about other people and more about, like, the things that need to happen? So that's why that was annoying. My view on like what a wedding would cost. I mean, the London one, which we've all agreed was like the best day of all time. Yeah. I can't remember the amount, but it's about 1,000 to get married, like, as in to pay, about another 1,000 for the pub, maybe another one for like the hotel. So that's more doable.
That's more my vibe.
So if you want like a beautiful, beautiful day, honestly, you can amazing. Do it on a budget, there is no question. With the Italy wedding, obviously the costs are significantly higher, but we didn't do anything extreme or ridiculously lavish that we thought wasn't worth money. The things we invested in was food and drink for guests, because we thought that was important, and entertainment. So things where you're getting like super good value for money, and then the guests basically paid and contributed to their own accommodation. So we did a Italy wedding that made sense. There are other, you know, weddings in Italy where they pay for everything and it's really extreme and goes above and beyond. And for us, we were lucky. We had both sets of families who contributed, and then anything additional we wanted to contribute where we felt comfortable, we did. But that's why it was so fun. And that was a stressful period, but overall, the happiest memories of all time. And it's, I think we were so happy because we did it within our means. And we were lucky enough, of course, to have the support. I think there are other brides, and I'm on a lot of Facebook groups where, like, they over-index, they go into debt, which I think is crazy. They spend thousands and thousands, tens of thousands above what they have, and then they're stressed because they basically can't afford it, and they're putting so much effort in because they want to make it amazing, and it, you know, things go wrong. That's stressful.
Yeah, that's just where I feel like everyone in life needs to draw the line. Why are you going into debt hosting a wedding? Like, for me, it makes no sense, honestly. Right, some topic chooses. I'd be interested to see what you said. So basically, my best friend got married. Got married a couple of months after Lydia. And at her wedding, one of the relatives wore a white. So you know when you go to a wedding, you don't wear white, right? One of the wedding guests and Lucy, my best friend, spotted her from afar when we were doing the photo. She was like, who is that wearing white? She was wearing like this effervescent, like, white gown, and it was so like, oh my god, what are you doing? White shirt, white shoes with bows. And Lucy was like, I'm gonna ask her to leave. And Lucy's husband Scott is like the opposite. He's like really shy, timid, like non-confrontational, and he was like, no, Lucy, don't, blah blah blah. No one turned up to your wedding in white.
No,
but what would you do if someone was in white? Would you ask them to change?
I can't imagine asking someone to like leave or change, but I can imagine being really pissed off and maybe having someone else, like you. I would have just sent you.
I would have done it.
To deal with it and like just say.
Especially in the setup because the room is down the road.
Like, but then I just think, who are these people that do this?
Yeah. Well, I don't really understand that. Someone left my wedding halfway through the dinner to drive 40 minutes to put their son to bed and then came back afterwards. Mom life. That's crazy. Part of me is like, because I've been through like the mom mental, like maybe a bit of anxieties and like stress around sleep. So part of me is like, but then the other part of me is like, no, come on, that is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
A groom tried it on with me and slapped my ass at the wedding.
I bet you that's more common than you think, you know.
Tell the story you told me downstairs.
Oh yeah, I just had a flashback from like a really long time ago where I went to an engagement party of like friends of friends. And as I was leaving the engagement party, the groom was like standing by the door and like let everybody out. He like kissed me on the lips. And I remember being like, was that a mistake? Or did the groom just kiss me on the lips? I'll never know.
That's wild. And I said, like, was your boyfriend at the time there? Like,
yeah, just don't get it.
Maybe you were all just really drunk. My mother-in-law wore a dress with a white train. The awful. Mother-in-laws. Honestly, luckily, Lydia's very blessed with her mother-in-law. She would never
I've
do such
a thing. I've got
a great
one.
Yeah. But, like, that's wild.
I know.
But, you know, like, you know how they say, like, the moms of boys are a bit crazy, like, a bit nuts because they don't want to let their son go? So she's probably, like, mourning, like...
Yeah.
The detachment of her son.
Yeah.
Crazy. My two best friends have no interest in coming to my hen. What does Lydia think?
I think that's a real shame and I'm sorry for that.
I think if no interest, recline the invite. Recline, is that a word? No, that's what you mean back.
Rescind the invite.
Yeah.
I feel sad for that because again, like, when you're planning a wedding and you've got your hen and you're investing a lot and it is a really exciting time. I think being engaged is the best period because it's so special and so exciting. And then, of course, other people have different plans and different priorities. No one cares about your wedding as much as you. And it is a feeling of like, do I even have any friends? Does anybody even want to support me? Are these real friends? Are these real friendships? Are they worth investing in? You do like really think about all these things and you're heightened in terms of sensitivity. So I'm sorry for that. I think you've just got to figure out why, right? If it's financial reasons, if it's because
yeah,
of another problem,
actually.
You know, a lot of, I have quite good friends who just said, not for me, for financial reasons. And I was
totally
like, okay, great, no problem.
Totally
fine.
But you had the best time on your head, didn't
I
you?
I had the best hen do. Thank you, Lucy, for organising.
And honestly, Lid, you look like a supermodel.
It was so fun, honestly.
You had such a good time.
I just had the best time.
And you looked amazing, honestly.
Everyone comes up to you and chats and it's good vibes.
It was really good.
It was just brilliant. I
it
had
was
such
really
a good,
good.
Time.
Did Lydia include her mother-in-law in the dress shopping?
No.
No. So you explain who was there. Just... me and mum.
You, mum, and Ziggy.
Yeah, Ziggy was a lot younger though.
Ziggy kept stealing the show again. I'm like, it's about me, Zig, not you. But
the dress shopping was quite straightforward, wasn't it? You picked like a few of your favourite stores.
And... we went dress shopping and Lucy was pregnant and really sick.
How was I pregnant if Ziggy was there?
Oh, God. The first time we went, you were pregnant.
Was I?
Yeah. And then the second time you went, Ziggy was there.
That's mad.
Yeah. So the first time we went, Lucy was pregnant and like it's a beautiful bridal studio where like everyone's really ethereal and wonderful and there's like some steps and Lucy was lying across all four steps, like horizontal. And then like I'm trying on dresses and my mum and Lucy are going, oh no, awful, awful, get that off, absolutely disgusting. And the ladies in the shop are like, are you okay? And I'm like, it's fine, it's just them two. I'm like, I have a pregnant sister and a mum who are both like, every dress trash, get it off, you look terrible.
So honest.
Brutal.
Looking back to your wedding day and the money you did spend, what was worth the money and what was not worth the money on the things that you ended up investing in?
I would say we did it frugally. It might not have appeared that way, but you could have added on 20 grand extra of flowers. Like the first quote for flowers was something like 25 grand. And I remember saying,
I know, Carl,
I remember saying 2 grand is about all I'm willing.
Even two like, grand on some flowers.
We're in a countryside with beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
So like we didn't do anything, you know, people go for the crazy arch and invest. Like we made choices not to do that. So actually food and drink and entertainment and like venue, I think are critical. All the add-ons, like a wedding favour where you put a little shot glass, we just didn't do any of that. No extra wedding favours, no crazy flowers, no crazy additions. We did add a cocktail bar at the party because we just thought, better than like wine, add some cocktail and spirits. And I remember the next morning being like, nobody drank any cocktails. And now every person I meet says, I had 10 margaritas. I had 17 mojitos.
Loads of people were drinking.
So yeah, I think I was very happy with all that I spent. Obviously, the bus that broke down.
Yeah, that was you got a refund though.
I did get a refund, yeah.
What was your first dance song?
John Legend, Conversations in the Dark.
It was really lovely. But like you and... I feel like it was all... That all happened really quick.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do a big like shebang around it. No. You and Jason just kind of... Yeah.
We swayed. We two-stepped.
Yeah.
And then everyone came on.
Yeah. So this lady said, I cannot bring myself to do a first dance. Like, yeah. It's, and I get that. It's very like all eyes on you. If you don't like dancing, it's probably your worst nightmare. So what's a first dance alternative? Can I do karaoke?
I would say, honestly, do what we did. Do a first dance where you stand in the middle, you cuddle and hug and kiss, get the photo because it's a special photo, and get everyone else on stage.
Yeah.
I would just do something super quick. Karaoke, I would save it till a bit after the D-floor moment.
So no karaoke then?
Well, I mean, it depends the vibe.
Could you imagine?
But like maybe do it at the end. Karaoke would be hilarious at the end, wouldn't it?
My mother-in-law bought an outfit with the exact same neckline as my wedding dress.
What do you think?
Well, I said this to Lydia when I was talking about it before. I'm like, if the wedding dress is just like a boob tube neckline, then like you can get lots of dresses like that. But if it was very like a specific detailed intricate, yeah. It's literally copied. I'm telling you, these mothers-in-law don't want to let their son go. They're mourning the loss of their son. I'm gonna
crazy.
Be like, that was Ziggy. I'm gonna turn up in the exact same wedding dress. You're not taking my son.
Yeah, that's the problem.
My B-maid, so that's bridesmaid. My bridesmaid wanted to keep nipping off to breastfeed her 9-month-old and leave before the wedding breakfast. What's the wedding breakfast?
The food, the dinner, the...
And leave before. It's a tricky one, that, isn't it?
I mean, you kept running off to tend to Ziggy. I didn't even think about it.
I feel like with that one, you know, if you... And I'll be really honest, okay? This is deep in my heart. I don't know if I've ever told you this. So I had Ziggy in 2022 in the July... And Lydia got married in 2023 in the July,
yeah.
Right? So I was planning 2 hen do's and I was maid of honor twice in the same year whilst also battling pretty much postpartum depression, the hardest year of my life with my son. And I found it really tough. And I did feel like, I don't know if I've ever told you this, and it's really nothing to like, it's not really that deep, but I felt a lot of pressure.
Mm.
I felt a lot of pressure to do 2 hen do's. It's a lot of organizing. It's a lot of like... liaising. I felt loads of pressure, and I did feel pressure on the wedding days to like be there whilst also trying to look after a sick baby, because let's
hard,
be honest,
yeah.
Eczema and allergies. Ziggy was pretty sick, wasn't he? So like if you're asking someone to be a bridesmaid and they've just had a baby, don't have expectation of them, because you really don't know what they're going through. And breastfeeding isn't so scheduled and routine. Like if that 9-month old baby needs feeding, then like the baby needs feeding.
Yeah, I
just feel like you can't really think into that one too much. But that's a stance of a mom.
Yeah.
Who's been
I guess
there.
And then the other view is when you're getting married, kids aren't really the vibe. You don't really want kids, you don't really want distractions, you want it to be about you, but life doesn't work that way, sadly. So it just is what it is.
Well, Lydia actually had a no kids wedding,
yeah,
for that reason
like we didn't want,
apart from Ziggy, and
Ziggy
one,
broke the rules,
and one other,
yeah,
there was
and
like
we
a
had a little
6-month
yeah. baby. But all of like Jason's friends who all have kids were like, thank god. We can't wait to leave the kids at home.
My mother-in-law turned up in a white dress, loads of these. I'm telling you
I just think if a mother-in-law does that, it's a signal.
To run. At my friend's wedding, the fire sprinkler went off in her hotel room minutes before she was about to leave. After spending 5 hours getting ready, her dress, herself, and her bridesmaids were all soaked.
That's awful. I'm so sorry.
Could you imagine?
No. At that point, you would just want the ground to swallow you
up. At that point, you just tell everyone. It's over.
Okay, I've got one. I broke my front tooth the morning of my wedding.
How?
Bless you.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. She didn't tell me how. I'll go through some of my stories, but I'm just remembering I've got a story of a friend of a friend. But basically, it was a guy who went on his stag do, and he's a vet, animal doctor. And on the stag do, men are weird, clearly, in this case. On the stag do, they were dealing with like a contraption that they used to castrate a cow.
Right.
And they got drunk and they were playing with it and they put the instrument on the groom and were joking around. and then like couldn't get it off, couldn't get the contraption off. And they're obviously very drunk and like under the influence, and they're all vets. And that's clearly like the type of thing. Sorry if you're a vet and don't, this isn't your fetish, but clearly that's what they were getting into. Got worse, so ended up having to go to A&E. Whatever the contraption was, they couldn't get it off. So he basically had to be castrated. That was the only way they could get the instrument off. It's a terrible story. And so it basically meant that, ended terribly. Obviously, big fallout. He's then lost his reproductive organs.
He's lost his willy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the wedding, like, none of the groomsmen were there because obviously they'd had a big fallout. I think he sued them. And then the wedding went ahead. And there was no bridal party because they had done that to him. And I think that's awful. Imagine getting married to someone and then, like, on their stag do, they lose their bits.
Well, I was thinking you were going to say that.
It just came to me.
But also, I'm really sorry, but why have you let them do that?
Well, I guess when you're drunk.
So you shouldn't drink alcohol. Makes you stupid.
Yeah, anyway,
things.
I just remembered that.
Imagine you go on your stag do.
Awful.
You lose your willy because they've used a cow contraption on your penis and you can't get it off.
It's awful.
You're so wild. Okay. People are tapped.
Okay, here's one. I haven't seen my bridesmaid since the wedding. She's the one who turned up with her hair already done. She contacted the makeup artist to change her style days before and cancelled the hotel, the venue told me.
What do you mean cancelled the hotel?
She obviously decided she didn't want to stay and just cancelled it herself.
Weird behaviour. Thank God you haven't seen her again.
And then we've got another one. This is sad. Massive question. My childhood best friend is getting married at the start of 2024 and I'm getting married later in the year. She was my maid of honour and I was her chief bridesmaid. We fell out massive over nothing, but we haven't spoken in 6 months. I'm not in the bridal party or the hen, but then I got an invite in the evening for the evening part of the wedding. Do I go? I don't know what to do. We were so close, but so much time has passed and the falling out was nasty. I was so upset, but what would you guys do? Do I invite them to my evening do? Do I even go? What are your thoughts?
I don't know if going to the evening do is just a bit forced. Like, you've been dropped out of the bridal party. You're no longer chief bridesmaid or maid of honour. But there you go. Take a bit of a last straw and come to the wedding party when all the nice stuff is over. I think either take the step forward to rekindle your friendship or dead it and don't go to the evening. It's not a bit awkward.
It is, but I do think, like, just before you get married, you do get this feeling of, like, something does change where you just want certain people there maybe that you've fallen out with. So I think don't do something that you'll regret. That's what I would say. So don't think, let's just dead this relationship and not be part of one another's day. Mm. Because then when all the, like, emotion subsides, you might regret that. So something like an evening do might be like a happy medium.
So this is a bit of a crazy one. My friend was getting married to someone who has a twin brother. She never met the twin brother as he lived abroad in Australia. He came over for the wedding and on the wedding day, the groom thought it would be funny for a joke for his twin brother to stand in front of the altar instead. Sorry, men are so weird.
That is not funny.
So my friend walked down the aisle and when she got to him, she went in for a kiss on the lips. They kissed. It was all happening so quick that the twin brother didn't expect it.
Oh my God.
And just pulled away quickly. The actual groom got up off his seat. She looked at them and the groom said, "Hey, sorry, I'm Tommy. This is my twin." My friend realised what had happened and couldn't get any words out. She was so angry, so upset and embarrassed. She ended up doing a runner.
I agree with her.
Do you know what? Men, there's a time and a place for everything.
Don't castrate your on just before you get married.
Yeah.
And don't sub your twin in on the wedding day.
Like, sub your twin in on another funny thing, but not at the bloody altar. Like, that to me is a joke. And that is when, like, men, I'm sorry, but some of you out there lack extreme emotional intelligence. Like, time and a place for everything. Yeah. At the end of the altar is not the time to sub in your twin brother.
Oh my God, I couldn't agree more.
Isn't that not crazy?
Yeah. Awful.
Wild. That is wild.
Someone just said, "I feel like the wedding night is such a big thing to live up to." like, what's your advice on that? And I agree. I think it is. For our legal wedding, we did nothing in the night. Like, that was a nice thing to do, just no plans. On the actual wedding night, I think all the anxiety, just know in your head, all the anxiety will go the second you get to the aisle, you know? So I kept trying to say that to myself, like, I know you're feeling stressed, I'm feeling sick, not wanting to eat, anxious. It's going to go. And by the time the night is there, all of that will have subsided and it won't matter about living up. You'll just be having fun. Mm. So I just think you'll be anxious. There's nothing that you can do to stop the anxiety, but just keep telling yourself in the back of your head, the second you get to the altar, it will subside.
Can we talk about some of the scandalousness that went down at your wedding? So Lydia, I would say some of Lydia's friends are quite crazy, and also not Lydia's friends, maybe Jason's friends.
The thing that was crazy about our wedding is that, you know, the wedding happens, you're having a lovely time with your family, you have a little boogie, you jump in the pool, you know, a bit promiscuous, but whatever. And then in the days and weeks that have followed the wedding, when like you go for a dinner or you talk to someone, and me and Jace are like gobsmacked at like the stories threesomes, people being hit on, like married people
getting blowjobs, getting blowjobs at the wine fridge,
getting blowjobs, like getting with people, just bitchy comments, funny comments.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
And part of me is like, I'm kind of proud of us, Jace. Proud that our wedding was like wild and wonderful. But there's another part of me that's like, oh my God, isn't it so funny that like, there were 80 guests at the wedding and there were basically 80 different versions of what happened based on like who was where at the time. I love it.
And also like I was so, and I think this is another space like just where my head was like, because Ziggy was still quite like poorly at Lydia's wedding. His skin really recovered after. So I was very much tunnel vision on Ziggy, and I didn't see anything happen. I thought it was all quite like.
Me too.
And then afterwards, I hear all these stories. One of Jason's friends was hitting on a couple asking for a threesome. And then one of Lydia's, I wouldn't call her a friend anymore, but was bitching about Lydia at Lydia's wedding. Imagine. How are you going to go to someone's wedding and bitch about the bride and not think it's going to get back to her? And then Lydia felt, honestly, you were really upset, weren't you? And you just felt quite awkward, like, this person is dancing and singing and smiling, yet at the same time saying horrible things about you. Like, that to me is just, why have you flown to Italy? I don't get it.
That's the bit I don't get.
If you don't rate the bride and you don't like her, why are you here?
Yeah. Like, weddings, there are always going to be people that you're super close with at the time. Old friends, maybe friends that you've lost touch with, but you really care about them. Like, that's a wedding. That's what happens. You invite family members and whatever. And so it's like, don't turn up. Just say no if you don't really want to be there. Mm. And yeah, I don't think I thought it was quite funny and a bit of entertaining, because I'm like, I do like a bit of goss. You know, you do. That's what makes a wedding fun. But then when you, really reflect, you're a bit like, I actually went out of my way to consider you bringing, you know, somebody with you, and to, I don't know, to pay and to introduce you to friends and to pair you with people that I think you're going to get on with. And then in reality, you sat at my wedding dinner while Dad was giving a speech about me, bitching about me. Like,
so
how sad for you that that's what you were doing with your time when everybody else was really happy.
And then you confronted her, didn't you, afterwards?
No, I didn't. It
you
just
did
got
on
back.
Text.
It just got back to her, and then I got an apology just saying, I'm really sorry.
And what have you done since? You just left it?
Yeah.
Not interested? Mm. Yeah. I mean, totally think that's the right thing to do, considering I really felt like you went out of your way to include her. You necessarily probably didn't want to.
Well, it's more like sometimes with a wedding, you include people that were part of your life because they mean so much to you, even if you're not close at the time. You reflect on people that were formidable in your growth.
Such great words.
And that's why it's so nice. And then, like, you know, another guest was trying to have a threesome with every other couple. Every couple. She tried every couple.
She?
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Bloody Nora, the partner of the girl. God, yeah.
So there was a guest who tried to have a threesome with every couple at the wedding. Every couple. She tried everyone.
And everyone said no.
Everyone said no. I kind of felt a bit sorry for us. Like, oh, what a shame. Hopefully someone would have said yes. So yeah, we've been going to dinners where, like, you know, we've been like to the friends, also, what was the goss? We've got some goss. And they're like, yeah, yeah, we know the goss. So then we start to share stories and we realise they're different stories and there's extra goss.
And then I'm coming to Lydia's house and Lydia's like, well, actually, no, Jason's so funny. Jason had some friends over after the wedding. We were all there and that's when all the goss came out. And then I remember this. So at the pool party, like, on the last day, everyone was really drunk. And obviously, this whole time, I have not drank just because I don't drink anyways. But like, and then Jason ordered loads of pizza. And sorry, I'm going to say it. Some of your friends were just giving me like selfish vibes. Like, okay, let's talk about this because there's a thing called wedding blues. Mm. Someone said, how can you touch on how Lydia felt after the wedding? I'm really struggling mentally. So this lady's just got married.
Yeah, I felt the same actually. Nobody warned you about the wedding blues. And I really felt it. I feel like people might feel it for different reasons. I'm sure there are people that get married to the wrong person and then they... reflect on the fact that they've made a big mistake. 50% of us are probably going to get married and divorced. I already have a friend that's getting divorced. Like, that's just normal. So I think there's things like that. But otherwise, it's you spend a year or more leading up to the wedding. It's a lot of effort, energy, exhaustion. Like, we were waking up at 5 a.m. to do Wedmin. That was the only time in the day we could do it. And then you have all the adrenaline, all the fun, all the holidaying. Then you kind of come back to reality and we moved house at the same time. And I think it was just that feeling of like, is this my day today for the rest of my life now? Is this it? Is this just my life? Even though it's a beautiful, happy, perfect life, it's such a first world problem. I did just think, so this is it. This is life now. And there's nothing like immediately in the future that you're thinking about or moving towards. Mm-hmm. And then all the adrenaline calms down mm-hmm. and you do get the blues. And I had that for probably like a month or two where I was just a bit like reflecting, I think, on where I've got to in life. And it's not bad. It's actually good feelings in many ways. And I think it's like I've spent my 20s exploring, focusing on my career, meeting new people, traveling, doing wild things, all fun. And then it's just a new chapter of life where it's like settling down, getting married, have bought a lovely house, all very happy. But when you take a step back and look at yourself and your life and think about where you've got to, there is a moment of, I guess, mourning the old person and knowing that now you are in a new way of living. And a lot of people say marriage doesn't change anything, it's just a piece of paper, but I really do feel different actually. I'm like, two people, we've made a commitment to one another, we are building something together, that it is different to other relationships. You don't need, I think, a wedding or a marriage certificate to feel that way, but I do think that's why sometimes the blues comes, because it's like post adrenaline.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh my god. And then you do think about the people that you are for, like some of the things that happened, and when you've spent all that money and it is a commitment, you then just think, I'm really pissed off that I allowed you into the space.
Any major regrets?
No,
I don't mean marrying Jason. I mean, like,
that wasn't what I was thinking.
I just mean, like, do you look back and think like, oh, like, I wish I never did that? Or is it all just like part of it?
No, I think it was exactly where we wanted it to be. There was nothing better than seeing my friends and his friends come together, our families come together, people meet one another, have fun, let loose, be on holiday. That type of wedding isn't for everyone, but for us, it was what we wanted. And I feel when we looked back at the photos and the videos, there is no better feeling, like reliving that moment that we can relive forever.
And how did you know that Jason was the one? Because you've been very open on like your social media and you've helped a lot of people in relationships when you were in, I would say, the relationship prior to Jason was set up to be a serious one, as in you bought a house, you redeveloped it, however you call. Like, how did you know that kind of like that wasn't right for you, and when you met Jason that he was right?
It's such a good question, and one that there isn't a like scientific answer for. I think in all relationships, you know, when people say when you know, you know, I was always like, do I know? I think I know. Maybe I know. I'm not sure if I know. How do you know when you know? And I was questioning it a lot. I think if you're needing to question and you're reflecting on, is this it? Do I know? Then it's not it. You know, and with prior relationships, like the more time I was with my ex-boyfriend, the further away we got from marriage. Like when we first met, we were like, let's get married and have an amazing life. And then as every year went by, we just hated one another more and more. And the desire to get married genuinely like got less and less. And there was never a talk of it. It was just not a talk of it. And there's every chance it could have been, of course, right? Because these things happen and people, you know, just go with it. Whereas with Jason, we formed a friendship, a super solid friendship, where we were just best friends and we grew and we had chemistry and we got on with one another. And then it turned into kind of a blossoming relationship. And actually, I was very much like, this isn't the one at all. This is just a great person that I'm, when you know, loving Jace. Spending time with. Yeah, because I'd just gotten out of a relationship. So I didn't go into it with that in my mind. But every day, I mean, he treated me with just love and kindness and friendship and respect. And therefore, you're naturally drawn to where you feel safe, at peace, at happiness. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it didn't really matter the timing. It didn't really matter what I was thinking. It just happened. And then... you know, for a period of time, I wasn't like desperate to buy a house or get married because I'm just loving the moment. And as time went by, it wasn't like a penny dropped and I thought, now I know that he's the one. It just is easy. It's safe. It's freedom filling, even though you feel like you've built a connection. Mm-hmm. And then it happens. And it's almost like, ah, I didn't even spend any time thinking, was he the one?
Yeah.
I didn't even have to reflect on if this was going to work or not.
Yeah.
And I think when you don't even need to do that,
That's
when it's just lovely. And then when he did propose, I never really thought I wanted
to. By the way, I would say best proposal ever.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was honestly, I think that's up there with one of the best.
It was just the best proposal of all time. And then I was so excited to marry him. Mm. And I really wanted to marry him. And I hadn't felt like that before necessarily. And I think, you know, depending on where you are at in life, you can engineer it and that's nice. But there was something about this where I didn't expect the engagement at that time.
Did you really not think he was going to propose to you on that holiday?
No.
Oh my goodness.
No.
I knew it.
No. Can I please show you, Carl, the face, Lucy's face when we FaceTimed her to tell
her
that.
You can put it on the screen as well. I don't mind.
Because she was really pregnant and really hormonal. And, firstly, I got engaged and then I was FaceTiming my whole family and no one picked up. So you know when you're like this on the FaceTime, waiting for someone to answer the phone, like, no one picked up. I was like, fuck.
You can show the camera the picture. Hopefully it will focus.
Okay, let me show you, please, the hilarious photos. These are the chronicles of my
sister. Wait, show me first.
No, I'm not showing you. So this one, tell me if you can see.
Is the brightness up enough?
Yeah.
Or will it reflect?
So it's this. Surprise! Oh my god!
Oh my god.
So emotional. Then she goes, I'm so happy. Congrats. Enjoy your moment. Because when I was FaceTiming her, she was just bawling her eyes out.
I look so swollen there.
So emotional.
I was so emotional. It's such a big thing for me. Like, obviously, I just have one sister, and I don't know if, like, that journey will ever be for me because I just don't know if, like, I've never thought of a wedding. I don't know. I already alluded to the fact that, like, I'm not sure how I feel about weddings. So, like, I was so excited for you, and I really wanted to, like, live it through you. Do you know what I mean?
You did, you know, you
and
you
I was so I was so happy with the, like, I know it's got nothing to do with me, but I just found the proposal, like, magical. Like, we'll put the link to the proposal in the description of the one that Lydia posted so you can go and watch it, but I honestly think it was just the best proposal ever. Yeah. It was just amazing.
I agree.
And it's before we close up, I think you are someone who's really great at articulating, like, tips for relationships. And you, I would say, part of, like, your presence on social media and the people that follow you love about you is that you give loads of, like, relationship advice.
Yeah.
And you are very good at, like, storytelling what went really wrong in your past relationship and, like, why that didn't work for you. So let's just touch on that a little bit, because I think people will really... give takeaways. So kind of talk to us, not to talk about your previous boyfriend, because with no disrespect, but he's irrelevant to our lives now. That sounds really disrespectful. I really don't mean it like that, but, like, it's the past.
Yeah.
But, like, talk to us through the journey of, like, when you really knew it wasn't right for you and how you had the courage to leave, because I guess you kind of did get stuck in with each other. Like, as you say, you bought a property together, you started completely redeveloping it, you went on loads of family holidays together, you invested a lot in each other. And how old were you? You were, like,
20? Yeah, like mid to late 20s.
Again, quite a pivotal time where there's, like, this pressure. I spoke about this in Chrissy's podcast, kind of like this pressure that you almost do need to settle down, and you took the courage to just break away from it.
Yeah. I mean, on reflection, looking back, a terrible partnership on all fronts and red flags from day one. Red flags from day one. I don't really know why I didn't have the self-worth at the time to spot the red flags and move on with my life at all. But we all are growing at times like that, and we're all experiencing, you know, ourselves. So whatever, we were together a long time. I had awful skin, red raw eczema head to toe. My body was screaming at me saying, you're in an unhappy place. Things aren't going well for you. On the surface, everything was fine. And actually at loads of periods of that time, I was happy. Everything was fine. That's the reality, right? A lot of the time you're just moving forward and it's okay. It then got to the stage where there were fundamental values where we were not aligned. Ethics, morals, finances, growth, like just not aligned.
When you say ethics and morals, can you give an example of something that maybe was really unaligned in that
he sense? Would lie. He had really bad decisions regarding money.
Okay.
He was, trying to lead a bit of a superficial and a fake life.
Okay.
And not acknowledging the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not me. I'm very like, here's where we're at today. We all want to strive. We all want to grow. But like, I have a different way of going about it. And that's not to say one is better than another. There are plenty of people that are successful navigating their way through life by bullshit.
Yeah, no,
getting
it's
what
true.
They want. So that's fine. It just wasn't me. And, you know, when we bought a house, it's, you know, with, you know, family, like Nan, and, you know, you have people in mind that helped you get there. And that was something I couldn't let go of.
I love that.
And when he was doing stuff that impacted me, my finances and my future, that's when I started to think, like,
example,
we're just not going to make this work. I think with just like spending and, you know,
I remember
stuff with the house.
You would say, you were really open with me and you were always like talking. And I remember you just kept saying to me, like, he just keeps asking me for money and going halves on things for the house and like stupid, ridiculous bills that like, with the house redevelopment, because it was a beautiful house, wasn't it, in Clapham? It was really a beautiful house. And I would say he did a good job on it.
Yeah.
It looked amazing. But I remember Lydia just saying, like, he just keeps asking me to go half on these bills. And that's not...
Yeah.
Like, it was something that was so alien to you. Yeah. And you felt really uncomfortable, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't building together, that's for sure. I was enabling him to grow and build what he wanted to build.
Do you feel like he used you?
Yeah, I think he saw me as somebody that would have helped him get to where he wanted to get to. Maybe it wasn't as, like, you know, bad intent as that. But underlyingly, yeah, I was an easy person to contribute to build a future that they wanted to build. And it got to the stage where, and I never gave in because I'm not like that. And that's why it didn't work, because I wasn't a yes man. I had my own views and my own thoughts and I had my own independence and that didn't work well. So I think, you know, I started working with Jace, built a friendship with Jace, and started to want to spend less time at home. So it's like when you're staying at work and when you're doing social things and when you're at the gym, I didn't want to be there and I didn't want to be around him. And I think I saw a therapist for my skin because I was like, my eczema's terrible, I'm not coping with it, I'm stressed. I saw a therapist and I started to talk to her about my relationship and everything. I would give her stories and say, and you know, obviously this was my fault, and my therapist was like, I'd be fuming. And she helped me realize that, like, all that was going on was not okay. And they were red flags and they were not my fault. And so she gave me some strength to kind of heal my skin, get my life back together. I wanted to get better and I did. And I think as I got better and as I got stronger and healthier and more positive, I stood for less. I focused on other things and it was naturally unwinding, I'd say. It took about another year to actually end. I do think I have to thank Jace in many ways because he was just an ear, a listener, a friend, a confidant. He wasn't conniving. He didn't try and like backstab. He didn't try and get in the way. He was just somebody that made me happy and would occasionally say, you deserve to be treated a bit better than that. Mm. And I think he saw me in all my good, bad glory. And because we were friends, we almost told one another everything. So it then meant when we had a friendship, it grew on trust and
yeah.
reality.
Yeah.
And then I walked away and I feel really strongly And it was a horrible time, by the way. I mean, really traumatic. Think Jeremy Kyle style. It was like we were on a Jeremy Kyle show. It was really bad. That's why I feel really strongly that having been out of it, I'm like, oh my God, so many red flags. Like, I had so much more worth. I was so much better in every bloody way. And why did I not see that? And then I have so many DMs of people talking to me about really sad situations where they can do better. There is no question. And so I spend a lot of time being vulnerable and telling people my truth led, I think, people to feel comfortable opening up about theirs. And so that's what I'm all about now, leaving stuff, not settling, especially when society puts pressure on you from an age perspective, and the realization that life can be so wonderful and so happy. And that's why I'm happy we talked about weddings, because it's like, you know what, of all the trials and tribulations, it will be a moment in life you will never forget. It will be a year in life that you will talk about forever and ever and ever. And having done it with the right person who you are excited to build a future with, who treats you with respect and loves you every day, there is no better feeling in the world. And I hope I can encourage other people to find their Jace, because there's plenty of them out there.
That's and what a lovely way. I'm going to end it there. That was just a lovely closing line.
Well, thank you for having me, Luce. And I do want to say I'm very proud of you for all you've done. I've loved listening to all the episodes, and I hope I could live up to.
Oh, you were so fun. So thank you. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for watching. I don't even need to ask my sister, because I know she'll say yes. Her DMs are wide open. If you have any questions regarding weddings, maybe you need some advice or relationship advice or just anything, if you're interested more in her professional journey, my sister is super contactable.
Yes.
Yeah, like you do get back to all your...
Of course I do, yeah.
And she does some great Q&As and stuff, so you can really get involved. Thank you for coming out of your way.
Thank you, Lulu. I love you.
Oh, we need to get on holiday, Bab.
I know.
Oh, gosh. We need some vitamin D. actually, before we end, you're going on your actual honeymoon.
Yeah, I'm going on my honeymoon. We're going to the Philippines.
Which will be amazing.
After Christmas for a couple of weeks. We were like, let's pick somewhere we've both never been.
So good.
So that's where we're going. I'll take you all with me. And
another reason to give her a
follow. Feedback after.
So this will be posted in the new year. So first of all, Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, Happy New Year.
And we hope it's a great one, and hope you can stay on this podcast journey with us. So yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to appreciate, to, no, I keep saying appreciate, to support the cause. And I'll see you next week. Ciao.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for having me. Very grateful.